This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa is making landfall in eastern Cuba right now as a Category 3 storm. Earlier on Tuesday, it pummeled Jamaica as one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes on record.
Southwestern Jamaica has taken a direct hit, and with many areas of the island cut off by flooding, it is really hard to know the exact toll that the storm has taken, including the number of deaths, now at 7, but that is expected to rise. The officials say Kingston's airport could reopen as soon as tomorrow for emergency relief flights. President Trump overnight also said the U.S. is prepared to send help.
That's ABC's Lionel Moise. President Trump got a gold medal and a crown from South Korea, but so far, not the $350 billion investment he had wanted from the country. The president is there to attend the APEC summit. Tomorrow, he will meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on trade and tariffs. After its heavy overnight airstrikes killed at least 81 people, Israel's military now says that the ceasefire is back on. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Truth and Treason is a really good film set in World War II Germany. The plot sees Helmut, a teenage boy, watch his Jewish friend taken away by the Nazis, which changes his outlook on Hitler's Germany. After hearing messages from around the world on an old radio conflicting what he hears at home, Helmut spreads the word covertly at night until he is caught. The film is based on a true story, and the parallels to what is happening currently in America are undeniable. The story is inspiring, and the lead character, courageous. Definitely worth a look. Even if you happen to see a movie that does not feature Paul Rudd in the cast, he's convincing other actors to take roles. Bobby Cannavale said it was Rudd who convinced him to take his role in Only Murders in the Building for season 5. The Tony Award-winning Cannavale plays talking corpse Nicky Cachemilio, a mobster who gets whacked. Season 5 comes to a close Tuesday night, October 28th. I have to check out that show. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers drop Elijah Gray. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have released forward Elijah Gray from the men's basketball program. In a statement, the university says they cannot discuss the details of the case, only to say it was an incident before Gray transferred from Temple to Madison. Now, losing the 6'8" forward leaves a void in the Badgers lineup. On Monday, head coach Greg Gard talked about the new look to this year's roster.
From the beginning, I've liked how this group competes. You know, we scrimmage Saturday. I've seen just the competitive nature of this group, and it's been different guys, different days. But we got to continue to get better on both ends of the floor, and you know, we use this week.
They host Campbell University Monday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-111 win at home over the Knicks. Milwaukee now 3-1 on the season. They host Golden State tomorrow night. Baseball, the World Series tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tonight in L.A. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more data centers want to move to Wisconsin and more Wisconsinites are concerned. We talk to Clean Wisconsin. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.7 WRCE.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 55 here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to 32 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 55. Sunshine Saturday with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 43.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The beginning of the 98th annual National FFA Convention. It's starting this morning down in Indianapolis, Indiana, but there's been a whole lot of activity that's already unfolded. Glad you're along with us, everybody. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. We have got more details with our Wisconsin State FFA president in just a moment. Joe Wilkie is on the scene with our Wisconsin delegation and all the staff that supports them. We're also going to hear a touching story this morning from Mary Schreiber. She's from East Troy and currently seated as the Central Region Vice President of the National FFA Officer Team. She tells us that so far she's traveled more than 90,000 miles across the United States working with FFA chapters, and one chapter in particular in West Virginia really left her touched at how deep the family connection is with the FFA. Stick around for that story as well. The story on weather today, not too bad. Looks like we're going to have a sunny Wednesday. Daytime highs today right around 56. A little bit of a breeze out of the northeast, about 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunny tomorrow and 53. Friday, sunny and 52. Saturday, sunny, a little cooler, 49 degrees. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, has the weather details about 15 minutes down the road.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
I'll tell you what, the old world flavors and recipes just keep folks coming back at Bavaria Sausage, and they're sharing the story beyond Wisconsin's borders. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke encouraging you to check out Bavaria Sausage's newly revised website. Talk about ease of shopping all in one place. Go to BavariaSausage.com. All those flavors you're looking for in the Landjagers, the brats, the summer sausage, all right there. Plus, great gift boxes with that Wisconsin flair. And if you're looking for the German accent of the holidays, of course, BavariaSausage.com has it. If you're a little bit rushed with a hectic life, Bavaria Sausage understands that as well. Take a look at their in-store restaurant quality individual packaged meats, from chicken wings and breasts right on through to pork chops, tenderloins, and burger patties. It's just part of what Bavaria Sausage does and does well. Check it out online now, BavariaSausage.com.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatestyields.
The 98th National FFA Convention is right around the corner, and Wisconsin has a great representation in Indianapolis every year. And I have the 2025-2026 Wisconsin State FFA President, Amalia Draxler. She is originally from Glenwood City, but she's going to be making that trip to Indianapolis. You have a bit of the in on how Wisconsin is representative. And first of all, we have a national officer this year.
Yes, we have our national officer, our Central Region Vice President, Mary Schreiber. She's had a wonderful year of service, and we can't wait to see her wrap things up and celebrate the end of her year. One way we're going to do this is she has her retiring address. During session 3 on the October 30th. We can't wait to attend this retiring address as state officers. We get to watch from the floor seats as delegates, and all of Wisconsin attendees will have the opportunity to watch it as well, which is really exciting to show our support for Mary.
And beyond our national officer, we have some real stars coming from Wisconsin in our Proficiency Award finalists. How many were submitted?
We had 39 proficiencies that were submitted at the national level, and 10 of them are finalists this year. We have a really big range from all the way from agricultural education to things like swine production. Of course, we've got dairy production and a lot of animal productions in there. We're hoping to see our members do well. Again, Wisconsin is always a powerhouse when it comes to submitting these applications.
And those American FFA degrees, we've got a few coming from Wisconsin. Always good to see those go across the stage.
We have 129 degree recipients from all 10 sections in Wisconsin, including myself and four of my teammates. So that is exciting for us. And it's great to see students beyond the high school level coming back and still putting that time and effort into FFA.
And fun fact, less than 3% of FFA members earn that American FFA degree. We also are well represented when it comes to our national chapter awards.
We had 26 national chapter awards going out across our state, 24 of them being three-star chapters and two of them being two-star chapters. And also we have some finalists. We have two chapters in the Model of Excellence finalists and then one chapter in the Building Communities finalists.
And moving on to those adults, we have some honorary American degree recipients as well.
We have 11 honorary American degree recipients. These are people who have put so much time and dedication into FFA at the national level and are very deserving of these recognitions.
And again, we have a national FFA officer candidate in Alyssa Schauer from East Troy, along with a national FFA nominated committee member, Brooke Wittrock from Bloomer. She's a past state FFA officer. And then we factor in the national FFA band and chorus and the talent. How many students we have doing that?
We have 5 students total doing band, chorus, and talent for Wisconsin FFA. 1 being in band, 3 being in chorus, and 1 being in talent.
And then we also have those AgriScience Fair. That has begun so popular in our chapters. How many national finalists do we have?
We have 8 finalists for the AgriScience Fair, both individuals and teams doing research on agricultural topics.
And then there's also the career development events and those leadership development events. Do we have somebody participating in each one of those categories?
Yes, we do. And overall, we have 24 participants in the LDEs and CDEs.
And something that's pretty new to National FFA is that Spanish Creed. Do we have somebody from Wisconsin doing that as well?
Yes, we have Kalani from the Arcadia FFA doing the Spanish Creed.
And we are chatting with Amalia Draxler. She is the president for the Wisconsin FFA for this current school year. And we're going to move on over to those delegate issues. This is very interesting to me. With Wisconsin's over 26,000 FFA members, we earned back another delegate. So there's 12 of you delegates down there making some of these decisions. What are some of the topics that are going to be discussed?
We have 6 committees at the national level this year covering things such as student input on strategic direction for the next 5 years of national FFA. We're talking about marketing and messaging, about degree structures, leadership programs at our national level such as Washington Leadership Conference or Member Leadership Series. We're talking about belonging and engagement in FFA and then also the delegate experience within FFA.
And I see on my list, you guys might even be talking about constitution and bylaws. Is that something the delegates get involved in?
This year, one of the biggest topics for delegates at the national level is the constitutional amendment that we have, which would enact all students who are in an ag class to automatically be FFA members. And the reasoning behind this is we're trying to get rid of the barriers to membership. So instead of students having to be asked, do you want to be an FFA member? Now they can be asked, what do you want to do in FFA? Hoping to get more students involved.
In your experience, this is your second year as a state officer at National Convention. What is your encouragement? What is your thoughts about making that trip down to Indianapolis?
Going to Indianapolis is a life-changing experience for any FFA member. I can't wait to see all of our participants, award winners, competitors head down to Indy to do some amazing things, but also all of our members who are just tagging along with their chapters. It's great to go on tours, learn more about agriculture, learn more about our national FFA organization. Anybody that's in Indy at the time will tell you we cannot wait to see the sea of blue jackets heading down across the streets of Indianapolis. And as delegates, it's a life-changing experience for us to get to network with people from 50 other states and associations in our organization and get to make those connections that will last a lifetime.
And any advice for FFA members or advisors or parents that do go down to Indianapolis?
My advice is to take a hold of every opportunity that you get. There are hundreds of different things to see in the expo. Walk around to all of them. Network with the businesses that are there. Get to know new people. Reach out to a new friend that you might not have talked to before and create those experiences for yourself. And attend all of the sessions and have a great time in Indy no matter what you do.
And one observance that I've had is once you wear that blue jacket, it's awfully easy to chat with somebody from another state. What have you found?
I always say that in FFA, you can have the mentality that we're going to be friends before you even meet someone. And so reaching out, talking to somebody in that jacket can be super easy because, of course, you already have one thing in common, and that being your passion and dedication for FFA. And so I've been able to network with people across the country because of reasons like that, just talking about what similarities we have and then also, of course, the differences across our states.
And boy, there's a variance through FFA. There's opportunity for all and opportunity to learn, to explore, and meet other people at that 98th National FFA Convention in Indianapolis. I'll be driving the van and having some good time with our state FFA officers. And that was our 2025-2026 State FFA President, right here from Wisconsin, Amalia Draxler from the Glenwood City FFA chapter. And I'm Jill Welke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill.
Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Looking for seed that performs? FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans deliver top-tier performance, field-tested reliability, and trusted local FS expertise. Your local FS crop specialist is here from planting to harvest, helping you get the most out of every acre, every season. Seed that performs, support that delivers. Ask your local FS crop specialist about FS Envision and FS High Soy, or visit FSC.com to learn more.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Politics can be complicated from Washington to Madison. No better way to sort it out with three Wisconsin guys. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson join me next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Pierre.com. Stumach Ag Meteorologist along with us. I said to you, kids in the blue and gold jackets have already been in Indianapolis since early this week with different service projects helping the community. What's the weather like down there?
Unfortunately, they're going to have a little rain. An indication is some light rain now, and I'd expect some showers. I mean, the radar indicates southern Indiana and Illinois under rain, so rainy, a little cool, low 50s. Not a big difference from here, except we aren't going to have rain.
Yeah, you know, and hopefully, well, I'm guessing most of them are going to be indoors today, although they will have to kind of walk back and forth between some of the buildings, but I'm sure they'll be just fine. Here in Wisconsin, I'm getting the sense from our talk text line, some folks would like to see a little rain.
It's pretty dry. There's no doubt there. Things have really dried out. Rain wouldn't be all that bad, but like I say, most of that's off to our south today. A frontal boundary still out west in Minnesota, down into Iowa, central Missouri. Low pressure has spun up further south. A stronger system, southern Missouri, going to slip across southern Indiana today. The rain is to the south, eastern and southern Iowa, into Missouri, western and southern Illinois, southern Indiana. The chance of rain in Wisconsin, a very slight one today in the far southwest. Otherwise, we are going to stay dry. Looking at temperatures, normal or a couple of degrees above, nothing outstanding, nothing to be all that concerned about. There was 0.07 of an inch of rain at La Crosse late yesterday in the nighttime. Nothing else to really report around the state. Pretty dry and staying that way. Temperatures do cool slowly on toward Thursday and Friday. In fact, a cool front drops in out of the north, and there will be some small chance on western and northern Wisconsin Friday. A small chance of a little light rain. That chance moves through pretty quickly. Temperatures cooling a little bit for Saturday. I think it's more likely all of us start to talk of some rain chance late Sunday or into Sunday night. Don't expect a lot. It's just going to hopefully wet things down a little bit. And otherwise, temperatures early next week, that's November now, start to make their way back to above normal levels. We'll have that forecast after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Oh, yeah! Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next-level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on!
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
All right, buddy, give me that forecast.
It sounds all right. Our Compeer Financial Ag forecast, of course, does call for a fair amount of sun today, some clouds in the west this morning, but the sun will break through, and I'd expect we find our way into the low and mid 50s with the northeast winds about 5 to 15. Overnight, a partly cloudy sky, mid 30s with the north winds at 5. Mostly sunny tomorrow, low 50s with the north winds about 5. And then that slight chance of rain in the west and north late Thursday night or early Friday. Partly sunny Friday, low 50s, maybe upper 40s in the north. The northwest winds about 5 to 10. I'd expect on Saturday, Pam, upper 40s, about 50 and some sun. Doesn't sound too bad.
No, I just got a text that says, when is our rain chance next?
Sunday night.
Sunday night, maybe. Sunday maybe. Night for sure.
Cross your fingers, maybe.
Okay, 414, there's your answer. Maybe Sunday night. And then Stan says that it's so dry in Door County, they had a big ATV fire last night that got a little out of control. So we do need to be mindful that some areas of the state are getting a little on the crispy side.
Oh, yeah. It's really dried out, and Mother Nature just kind of likes it that way, apparently.
Well, we're going to have to watch that, too. I saw some combines rolling over the weekend on some still-standing soybeans, and, man, just the dust alone makes me think combine fires are still a real possibility.
Well, I thought it looked that way pulling in some corn yesterday.
Yeah.
Wow, that's dusty.
All right, man. Thanks. Catch you tomorrow.
Yep, see ya.
Stu Mutker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Wednesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pat.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Charlie, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
But eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa is making landfall in eastern Cuba right now as a Category 3 storm. Earlier on Tuesday, it pummeled Jamaica as one of the strongest Atlantic hurricanes on record.
Southwestern Jamaica has taken a direct hit, and with many areas of the island cut off by flooding, it is really hard to know the exact toll that the storm has taken, including the number of deaths, now at 7, but that is expected to rise. The officials say Kingston's airport could reopen as soon as tomorrow for emergency relief flights. President Trump overnight also said the U.S. is prepared to send help.
That's ABC's Lana Moise. President Trump got a gold medal and a crown from South Korea, but so far, not the $350 billion investment he had wanted from the country. The president is there to attend the APEC summit. Tomorrow, he will meet with Chinese leader Xi Jinping on trade and tariffs. After its heavy overnight airstrikes killed at least 81 people, Israel's military now says that the ceasefire is back on. This is ABC News.
The Badgers drop Elijah Gray.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have released forward Elijah Gray from the men's basketball program. In a statement, the university says they cannot discuss the details of the case, only to say it was an incident before Gray transferred from Temple to Madison. Now, losing the 6'8" forward leaves a void in the Badgers lineup. On Monday, head coach Greg Gard talked about the new look to this year's roster.
From the beginning, I've liked how this group competes. You know, we scrimmaged Saturday. I've seen just the competitive nature of this group, and it's been different guys, different days. But we got to continue to get better on both ends of the floor, and you know, we use this week.
They host Campbell University Monday night. NBA, the Bucks with a 121-111 win at home over the Knicks. Milwaukee now 3-1 on the season. They host Golden State tomorrow night. Baseball, the World Series tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 tonight in L.A. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
5 o'clock, I'm joined by Rachel LaCasse Ford. She's a mom of two and a small business owner. She discusses her personal struggles to find affordable health care and what the ACA subsidies mean to her and her family.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Air pollution leads to higher rates of breast cancer, according to a new...
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 55 here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop to 32 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 55. Sunshine Saturday with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 43.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. October 27th, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a proclamation calling the state's legislature into special session on November 3rd to consider congressional redistricting and a tax code issue. This follows weeks of lobbying by Trump administration officials worried that the GOP may lose control of the U.S. House. Indiana is already a very red state, with Democrats only holding 2 of 9 seats, District 1 in Northwest Indiana and District 7 in Indianapolis. Creating a GOP-leaning district will require cracking the existing districts and diluting liberal strongholds by adding Republican voters from adjoining areas. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports that the state House has enough votes to pass a gerrymandering plan, but Senate leaders say they're still short of the votes needed. In Kansas, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly refused to call a special session for redistricting, but KCUR reports that Senate President Ty Masterson confirmed October 27th that he...
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to 1.5 years, 2 years, or get tied up It never happened.
Indefinitely.
And that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The Zone.
More stories from the National FFA Convention, which officially convenes beginning today, Indianapolis, Indiana. We've got a big Wisconsin contingency that's down there. Mary Schreiber from East Troy is a National FFA officer. We'll hear from her as the morning unfolds. Welcome back, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 29th day of October. Interesting day. You know, we're talking about that hurricane that is struck Jamaica. Interestingly enough, on this day back in 2012, Hurricane Sandy hit the U.S. eastern coast. Estimated damage from the hurricane, $50 billion. That was back in 2012. On this day, 2008, Delta Airlines merged with Northwest. Anybody in the audience remember flying Northwest? Well, it turned into Delta Airlines on this day back in 2008. On this day in 1863, the Red Cross was founded. Some happy birthdays you'll probably recognize today. Actor Richard Dreyfuss turns 78. Kate Jackson from Charlie's Angels, she is 77. And actress Winona Ryder turns 54 today. And now you know. What do we know about the harvest of 2025? Stephanie Hoff joining us with our Wiffles Wednesday.
Varied progress so far on the corn for grain harvest in Wisconsin. According to the Wiffles Harvest Progress Map at Wiffles.com, I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Wiffles Wednesday. Today we're catching up with Luke Bird. He's the district manager out of Rock, Walworth, Racine, and Kenosha counties. He says as the government continues to be shut down and we don't get a crop progress and condition report from USDA, the Wiffles Harvest Progress Map is a great resource, not just for harvest updates, but yield estimates.
Anybody can do it. I do it weekly, but we go in and you can put in your projected yields of what, you know, the county's kind of running in your area that you're calling in from. You can give an update on how much is harvested, you know. So right now, I think I'll probably put in that, you know, 60 to 70%, 50 to 70%, you know, range. And that way it kind of keeps everybody up to date. You know, some people are getting done. Some people are still, you know, fairly early in the process. So it's a nice average. People can kind of keep track of where the neighborhood's at and in other counties, especially moving east and north, because they could be a tick behind just because of the situations and the weather that we had this year.
Have you heard from anyone, even like traders or commodity brokers, who've had to turn to this type of information, such as what Wiffles has on their website, because we're not getting the progress and condition reports?
Talking to individuals, you know, who are talking to others, I guess, you know, third party, I would say. Yeah, we are hearing a little bit of feedback on it. It is a very good program for us to be running right now with Wiffles. Like I said, it's really easy to access, just wiffles.com, and we can find the harvest progress map there and kind of gives you a heads up throughout our footprint where the yield and everything will be.
So what are you picking out for Wisconsin when it comes to the corn harvest? What can you tell us so far?
It's very different, believe it or not, from one side to the other. I think there's good yields. I think we're having a good year. You know, we've had such an outstanding growth the last couple of years in yield that, I mean, not to say we expected it, but we wanted a little bit more of a jump than what is out in the countryside, not just Wiffles. But in general, I really think yields are very good for us this year. We need to remember the type of year that we had, the hot nights, the long-term nights that we had. Disease did come into the West. We had a little southern rust come up and poke on us. We had a little bit of tar spot come in also, and then moving east, we had some wet weather, and it just set us back just a little bit. Yields are very good for us, and I'm really happy, and farms seem to be very happy with where things are coming in.
I'm looking at the harvest map right now, Luke, and yeah, you're right. It's pretty different in terms of how far along folks are with the corn for grain harvest across the state. I'm sure it has to do with the variety of weather that Wisconsin offers, depending on your region. But Luke, I also wanted to ask you, when you're in the fields and, you know, you're seeing some of maybe the issues you saw throughout the growing season with disease pressure, for example, what is that telling you for 2026?
We're doing a little bit better job picking a couple different hybrids out. Some of our newer hybrids coming forward have a little, some better disease behind it. I'm not saying that's the perfect answer, but with these diseases, you know, I'll just use southern rust, for example. This is the first time we've ever had to deal with it in our geography. And do I think it's going to be a yearly thing? No, I really don't. I think it was just something that happened this year. So I'm not necessarily picking hybrids out for that. But some of our newer hybrids with tar spot, we're doing a little bit better job controlling that and pushing disease off a little bit later into the season. So there are definitely newer hybrids coming out that are handling the disease pressure better, drought tolerance, you know, flexibility from farm to farm. It just, some of these new hybrids are doing a very good job for us.
Do you have one in particular that you're really excited about that you're offering for growers for the 2026 growing season?
Boy, I got a lot. I mean, we don't have all that time to take care of that. But, you know, a couple that stand out on our doubles, on our above ground only traits, we have a 4514 that's standing out for me this year. It's moving between lighter and heavier soils. So that one's doing very well for us. 5684, that's going to get up into that 108-day range. That one has been very consistent with very good disease behind it also. And I'm very excited about our new class that we have coming forward for 26.
And we'll point people to Wiffles.com to check out all of those offerings and plug those hybrids in to the Wiffles Yield Calculator, also on the website under the Agronomy tab. While you're there, check out that harvest progress map to see how folks are coming along with the corn harvest in Wisconsin and neighboring states. Luke Bird along with us. He's a district manager out of Rock and Walworth counties, also doing work in Racine and Kenosha counties. Happy to be along with him on this Wiffles Wednesday. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Hard to believe they are expecting 70,000 members of the FFA to gather together in Indianapolis as the 98th annual convention officially kicks off today. One of those is Mary Schreiber. She's from East Troy, and she's currently seated as the Central Region National FFA Vice President. She's traveled approximately 90,000 miles so far, visiting FFA chapters all across the United States. And she shares one story that's particularly moving from a visit to West Virginia.
So I was doing some chapter visits out in West Virginia, and I was in pretty much like the center of the mountains, like coal mining country, which for a Wisconsinite is pretty unfamiliar, but the people were so welcoming, and I had a chapter visit very early at probably 6:30 in the morning because I was going to eat a ham breakfast with all of these students. And there was one chapter officer named Katie who was so enthusiastic. And she took me on a whole tour of their program. And the tour took so long, I missed part of the period I was supposed to facilitate in. But she was just, she, FFA was in her bones. Like, she bled blue and gold. And later that evening, I went bowling with her and her chapter and talked with Katie some more about how excited she was to be a chapter officer and all the contests she wanted to compete in. Just one of those members who was, she just sparkled. And that evening after bowling had finished up, I was talking to her advisor and his wife outside the bowling alley, Midwest goodbying them totally. And he's, oh, you remember Katie? I'm like, oh, yes, I love Katie. Of course, she's so sweet. And he said, well, right now she actually lives with her grandparents because her dad passed away from a battle with addiction when she was really young, and her mom's currently fighting that same battle right now, which means that right now, as her advisors, we're sort of her pseudo parents. We're taking care of her. And it was one of those moments I got back in my car and I just had to sit there for a second, because the family that this organization provides to students, not just in the sense of building your character and that premier leadership, personal growth, and career success, but also the community that you build, the people in your chapter, the people in your state association, and even here at National Convention, when you see that sea of blue jackets, you're a part of something so much bigger. You're a part of that family. And I was really grateful that I got to be a small part of her family and I get to contribute to that. So there are some really challenging things that students across the country are going through, but FFA is there for them to give them that bright spot and that future and that community to look forward to.
Pretty cool story. We put so much emphasis on the agriculture elements of FFA, which obviously are their staples, that sometimes we forget the benefits that come along with the FFA, like that sense of family. Thanks, Mary. Again, Mary Schreiber, she is the current Central Region National FFA Vice President from East Troy. She tells me that after she concludes her responsibilities as National FFA Officer, she is going to be headed to Texas A&M University. And she also points out, if you happen to follow the FFA activities from Indianapolis online at FFA.org, anytime that you see the officers on stage, the speeches, the content that they provide, all written by that officer or officer teams. Very much a hands-on group. And like I said, we'll continue our coverage of what's happening at the National FFA Convention and its connection to Wisconsin all week long. All right, let's talk a little bit about what's happening in the markets this morning. We're feeling a downward trend now as far as our grain trade is concerned this morning. So far, we've got December corn trading a penny lower at 431. March corn's down 2 at 444. November soybeans down 8 right now at 1070. January soybeans down 8 at 1087. The wheat for July, that's currently down a penny and a half at 568. Yesterday in Chicago, as far as dairy was concerned, the barrel cheese gained 2.5 cents to 182. 40-pound block cheese was up 2.25 at 182 and a quarter, while AA butter drifted 3.75 cents lower to 156 and a quarter per pound. Right now, we've got the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 7, 1777 a hundredweight. November or December down 7 at 1706. If you had an opportunity to download our brand new free Midwest Farm Report app, we understand the harvest season is a busy time for a lot of Wisconsin farmers. You may not be able to stay connected with all the information streams you're looking for, but guess what? We're dedicated to making sure that you can get all the pertinent news that impacts Wisconsin agriculture in one place. Podcasts, playlists, streaming, news articles, whatever you're looking for, this Midwest Farm Report app provides it right there on your smartphone. Available for both Android and Apple. Just go to your favorite Play Store and look for Midwest Farm Report. Let us know what you think. Well, citizens in Rock County were letting elected officials know what they think about a data center that's being proposed for the former General Motors plant in that community. Ben Jarboe made the trip down to Janesville to find out what the protesters had to say about this data center that's proposed for their neighborhood. That's next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Mark Tusher, former UW Badger and Green Bay Packer, and I've known for years that Jones Dairy Farm makes the best all-natural sausage and dry-aged bacon. What I didn't know is that they also make incredible all-natural meatballs, naturally smoked Canadian bacon and ham, and even Braunschweiger. It makes sense. Jones products are made with premium cuts of meat and delicious in-house spice blends. So why wouldn't all their products taste amazing? Try Jones. They're a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And go Badgers!
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, more data centers want to move to Wisconsin and more Wisconsinites are concerned. We talk to Clean Wisconsin. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
What's to come of these big data centers?
So from what I've heard from the community, their biggest concerns are the environmental and health impacts, the rise in utility bills, the lack of permanent jobs, loss of property value, and just the uncertainty overall of the industry in and of itself.
And when we also look at it, a lot of these data centers, the proposals also come with the NDAs. What is that doing to the community? What's the biggest concern of those NDAs? Is it that you don't know who's wanting to be a part of that, or exactly what happens and what the possibilities are?
A lot of it is, even if we don't want a data center, regardless of what's in those proposals, we don't know what we're fighting against. We don't know who it is. We don't know what the details are. We know absolutely nothing. And this is on city property, and I feel like the community has a right to know where our tax dollars are going.
And when you mentioned some of the environmental impacts that are a worry, what are some of those?
A lot of these centers, they stay on 24/7, and they have to have backup generators that are able to kick in if the site were to go down. And the amount, they could power 150,000 homes is what they've estimated with the data center that could fit on our property our size. The amount of generators that it would take to operate that would be astronomical, and the amount of emissions that come from just those generators alone is enough to affect the health of the community around it. And there's also the water issues, you know, high energy uses, high water usage, and even if they use cooling tanks or in a closed loop system, like they have to use chemicals to cool that, where do the chemicals go? Like there's a lot of, you got the light pollution, noise pollution, the constant humming of the center in and of itself. Like none of that is good for the community, for the health of the community.
Well, another aspect of that is the amount of power lines that they have to run through here. Do you have any idea through research? Have you heard of how many are needed for that?
So I know that there used to be a GM factory on that property, and there's a substation right next to it, and I've seen Alliant doing some upgrades to that substation, so I'm not sure if that would be enough or if they're going to have to do more to it. We don't know because, again, it's all behind the NDAs.
So I was reading through the talking points that you had posted onto the Facebook page, and it was talking about pollution, how Rock County here is already the most polluted air quality in the state. What would a data center do to that air quality? What's the emissions that it could cause?
I'm imagining it can't make it any better. I know Beloit's struggling to get air pollution monitoring, and like you said, we're already the worst in the state for air pollution, and there is no way that this is not going to make that exponentially worse. And I'm not looking forward to that.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add about this or any other concerns that you have?
The biggest thing that we can do if we want to stop this is we have to show up. We cannot just be keyboard warriors on social media typing out complaints. You need to show up. You need to tell your council members how you feel and that this is not what is best for our city and hold them accountable to it.
Cassandra says that groups like their No Janesville Data Center group have already made impacts in these proposed data centers, with the most recent one being the cancellation of the plan in Caledonia. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com. Or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
Inexpensive way of measuring moisture content of harvested forages today on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing, the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. All-terrain vehicles have become standard equipment on farms and ranches. While useful for work, they're also recreational, but they can pose a safety issue for kids in particular. Make sure operators wear helmets and are schooled in safe use. High-speed crashes and rollovers can be avoided. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. There are safe ranges for the amount of moisture in forages like haylage and silage. White County, Arkansas Extension Agent Brian Haller.
And it's real important to get that moisture out. If you get it too wet, over 60%, you can have spoilage problems. You get it below that 40%, the forage won't ensile properly. So that moisture is very, very important.
You can hire someone to test the moisture content. Haller knew a farmer who had done just that, and together they tried an experiment.
I basically went to Walmart and bought a 6-quart air fryer, and we tested that forage, and it actually ended up being pretty much what the gentleman had told him what was going to be. But it worked really easy, really simple. It takes about 30 minutes as far as the drying part, and worked really well.
Haller says he got a small pan to hold the sample and put a metal grate over it to prevent dry matter from touching the heating coil.
And we tell him you don't want to use your wife's air fryer, but to be honest, the one we have that I bought, I mean, I cleaned it up, and actually our family consumer science agent used it for our air fryer workshop, you know, a month or so later, and there was no problems as long as you clean up your mess after it's over. There's really relatively no mess in the way I did it with that aluminum pan.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV producer and writer and director of the film A Road at Night, John Roach. Then Door County Trolley's spooky storyteller, Carl Sarecki, joins me for some fun ghost stories.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is, and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again. Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa making landfall in Cuba as a Category 3 storm. Slammed into Jamaica as a Category 5. They're still assessing the damage in Jamaica, but Mike at the airport reopened as of tomorrow for food aid deliveries. President Trump speaking with business and government leaders at APEC, the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum dinner in South Korea. The president talking about how he arrived at a trade agreement with South Korea's prime minister.
And we made our deal with pretty much finalized a trade deal, and we discussed some other things having to do with national security, etc.
The details of that trade deal are still being ironed out. Tomorrow, the president meets with China's Xi Jinping. Back in Washington, the Senate has voted to nullify the president's 50% tariffs on Brazil. A handful of Republicans joined Democrats in the effort. The pain being felt by federal workers as the government shut down Interstate 29. This is ABC News.